Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
Well, as we start off today, I want to tell you the story about when Nelson Mandela first got elected as our president here in South Africa. You know, when he first got elected, our country was still under a huge racial divide, and there was still a lot of division. But Mandela saw the 95 World Cup, which South Africa was going to host, he saw that as a great opportunity for the nation to be reconciled and for there to be national unity. And he saw the Springboks in particular as a great way for the country to come alongside and to have a symbol to be able to cheer on and to come alongside. So he very soon and very shortly called the Springbok captain, Francois Pienaar, and called him and let him know and met with him and told him that it would be really great for our country and for our country's reconciliation if you guys could win this thing. So he never went as far as to say, you must win, huh? But what he did, but he did make it clear for the country and for the Springboks that they can He did make it clear for the country, for the Springboks. Now, I've lost, you made me lose my check. Made it clear for them that it is possible for them to win. But he actually went one step further and he got them to believe in themselves. And by getting them to believe in themselves, he got them to begin to see that it is possible for them to do a significant thing. And as we know, they won the 95 World Cup, and we basically haven't stopped winning since, you know, including yesterday. It's like, it's just what we do now, all because of that moment. So Mandela got the Springboks to believe in themselves, and because he did that, they did believe in themselves. And here's the thing, something significant always takes place when we begin to believe in ourselves. Something significant always takes place when in our minds and in our hearts, we begin to believe for a better story for ourselves. And the way we can begin to believe in ourselves and what we're able to do, that we're able to do things better, one of the most significant ways we're able to do so, and even better yet, to begin to believe in our miracle working God, one of the most significant ways we can do that is by developing stronger minds. Because when we have a stronger mind, we can begin to believe in ourselves and then begin to believe that we can do something extraordinary and significant. So today, as we continue with the series, we're going to be speaking about how we can develop and how we can have stronger minds. So today's sermon title is that, Stronger Minds. Because again, once we have a stronger mind, we can begin to believe in ourselves. And when we believe in ourselves, we can do significant things. And Craig Rochelle, you know, he says this profound quote, that our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. Your life, my life, it's always moving in the direction of whatever our strongest thoughts is. So if that thought is negative, it's untrue, if it is toxic, our life will naturally move towards that negativity, that toxicity, and that untruth. So when we begin to believe that, that's what begins to happen. It's almost like gravity. Our life is just drawn towards that, like a magnet. But then at the same time, the opposite is also true. When we begin to believe in truth, when we begin to believe in God's wisdom, when we begin to stand on God's word, our life will move towards that healthier direction as well. You know, speaking to one of our awesome volunteers earlier today, he was telling me of how he's been reshaping his thinking and reshaping his thinking along the lines of truth and reshaping himself and beginning to believe that actually my life can be worth so much more than what I've allowed it to be up till now. To the extent, because he's believed in it, now when he goes into shopping malls and begins to go into his shops, he begins to look for different outfits. He begins to see that, no, I'm not into the lame sneakers that I used to buy. I'm into these nice, awesome shoes. Now, I'm not into this type of clothing now. I'm into this type of clothing. Now, his life ultimately is moving towards the direction of his strongest thought. And that takes place with every single one of us. When our lives have strong, healthy thoughts, our lives will always move towards that healthier space. But we can only do that when we have a stronger mind. When we have a weak mind, in other words, that's determined and that's governed by circumstances, by people's opinions, by the negative narratives that we tell ourselves in our minds, when our lives are moving towards that thinking, and when our lives are that negative and they are that weak, what we begin to see is that often we can't do significant things. Because we just not haven't got the wherewithal to be able to live that way and to live with significant things in mind. So it's so important for us to realize that if we are to live lives that are strong, if we are to live lives that are significant, it starts with our minds being stronger. When we have a weak mind, it can affect so many areas of our lives. And when we begin to track our lives and begin to see that, okay, what are the areas of my lives that have been weak up until now? Chances are that there has been a weak thought that has governed that all the way through. And hey, I'm right there in the middle of it all, you know, in the position of knowing that a weak mind can often, and weak thoughts can often dictate and determine areas of my life. But the important thing is for us to realize that we should be moving away from those, from that negativity, moving away from that weakness and not moving towards it. You know, when we have a weak mind, it affects so many areas of our lives, and that's why it's so important to move away from it. And we're going to have a look at a few of them right now, a few of the areas that are affected by a weak mind. First area is our confidence. Because if we have weak minds, what begins to happen is that our confidence takes a knock because we begin to believe whatever negative thing a person says. We begin to believe a situation that isn't going our way, and we begin to think to ourselves, I can't do this. And when that's affected, everything else in our lives begins to have that be tinted in that way of thinking as well. Everything else, in every other area of our lives, we think, I can't do that. I'm not made for more. I can't go beyond this. Why? Because our confidence has been affected with a weak mind. Another area that gets affected whenever we have a weak mind is our relationships. You know, because of the fact that we keep thinking to ourselves because of a weak mind, that internally we aren't able to process our emotions as well as what we should be and as well as what we'd like to be. What begins to happen is that our relationships take a knock because when somebody asks us, lovingly asks us, hey, what's wrong? Because I can see it in your face. I can see that you're carrying some burden. We end up responding with a lie by saying nothing. Nothing's wrong. Why? Because we just aren't able to have the faculties within us to deal with whatever it is that really is the issue and the problem for us. And sticking with relationships, what begins to take place as well is that we can believe the worst in other people, seeing every comment as an attack towards us, seeing every time somebody whispers in the corner and thinking to yourself, they're talking about me. It must be. Like, what else could they be talking about? It must be about me. You know, that's a way in which our lives can be affected, our relationships can be affected by a weak mind. Another area in which affects our lives if we have a weak mind is our health. Now, our health takes a knock as well because what begins to take place is that we haven't got the discipline or the self-control and the self-discipline needed to be able to budget well or to be able to handle our dieting or our emotional health well. We're not able to find our exercise and our rest patterns well because we just aren't disciplined enough to be able to do that for ourselves. Another area that gets affected is our finances. We begin to see that we're either living with with financial habits that are either too stingy, or we're thinking to ourselves, I'm going to make money again next week. I'm just going to go with the wind, you know? Or because we just aren't structured well enough with our finances because a weak mind isn't disciplined enough to make those structures. Another area that gets affected is also our work. Our work gets affected because what we begin to see is that our work performance takes a knock because every time we are living with a weak mind, we're thinking to ourselves and believing the lie that what I'm doing is either meaningless or it's beneath me or it's too hard. And whenever we begin to believe those lies, all of a sudden between a 9 and 5, our decision-making isn't all that great. Our skill development isn't great because what's the point of developing my skill if what I'm doing is meaningless? What's the point of making great decisions because it's too hard anyway? I'm going to make the wrong decision anyway. That begins to be a repeated pattern in our lives if we begin to believe the lies that a weak mind is able to tell us in our work environment. And then lastly, what we begin to see is that our influence and our leadership takes a knock as well. Because what begins to happen is that if all those other areas are affected by a negative mind and by a weak mind, we begin to see that no one actually wants to follow that. Because if all the areas that matter most are the areas that are getting affected, no one wants to follow a leader that is moving towards that direction. So all that to say that a weak mind can affect us so profoundly. A weak mind can very rarely do significant things, especially if all those significant things are affected, or all the areas that matter most are the areas that are being affected significantly. Now again, I'm right there in the trenches. I'm right there of living a life that it can be affected by negative thinking and a weak mind. And maybe you're there too with some areas that you can see within your life that, sure, like my life has not been all that great in that area, or my life has struggled in this area or in that area. And chances are, if we really do like a thought audit on our lives, you probably find that the areas that are weakest in our lives are probably the areas where we've had weak thoughts towards them. And again, I'm right there, right there within the trenches of trying to deal with those areas too. But what I'd love to encourage us with today is that let's not live lives that are determined by the weak areas. Let's not live lives that are determined by negative thoughts, but instead let's live lives, let's partner with each other, let's come alongside each other to live lives that are have stronger minds, lives that are anchored on scripture, lives that know what God has in plan and in store for us. Because when we begin to live that way, we begin to live lives that are stronger and then also live lives that can do significant things. So no wonder Romans 12 verse 2 tells us, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, the pattern of this world is a pattern that is designed to make us have weak minds. That's what the pattern of this world is all about, you know. And here's a few of the patterns of this world, you know. The pattern of this world is go with what you feel. No. What's in your gut? Go with that. No. Don't live by values. Go with what you feel, because that's what you should be living off. You do you. You know, what is it that you feel like doing? I'm not gonna argue with your truth. Your truth is the truth. No, you do you. You know, that's the pattern of this world. Live by your gut and not your convictions. You know, if you feel like dating her or dating him, go with it. You know, even if all they have going for them are their eyes. Just go with it. Go with it. But they make me laugh. Yeah, sure then go with it then, you know. Give yourself the option of quitting. Give yourself the option of quitting. Just have your resignation letter written on day one when you go into the job. It's fine. You may or may not use it. It's okay. You do that. If things get hard, at least you have it written out ready to go. Compare yourself with others, you know. Doom scroll social media to your heart's content, you know. That friend that you grew up with, and now you're both in your early 40s, and both of you are, you know, like you've taken on two different career paths and two different lives that you've had. It's fine. Compare yourself to that person. It's okay. Now, do it. More and more of it. Let your mind be shaped by your social media's algorithm. Now, let that shape you, not scripture. No. No, let the people in Silicon Valley, let them shape you what you're thinking is. Let the person who wants to make more money and be a billionaire one day, let that person who's super clever and super genius, let them shape your thinking. That's the pattern of this world. Spend recklessly. Go with the flow. Just go with the wind. You know, you made money on the 25th. Don't have money left by the 27th. Just spend. Spend. Life's too short. YOLO. No. Carpe diem. Yeah. And then be selfish with your resources. Be selfish. Don't do that. Don't spend recklessly. Be selfish with the resources. Don't give. Don't be generous with others. Just hoard. Hoard more. Have 3 rooms to hoard in your house. And then just don't give everything away. Just keep more of it. That's the pattern of this world. And what Scripture is encouraging us with, what Romans 12 verse 2 says, is that don't be conformed by that pattern. Don't let that pattern shape your life, because that pattern is a pattern that develops weak confidence, weak health, weak relationships, weak careers, weak leadership, weak influence. That is all formed by a life that has this pattern in mind. But what Scripture says is that let's not be conformed by that, but let's have our minds renewed and transformed, because when we're actively working against that, we are actively working towards having a stronger mind. And when we have a stronger mind, we have minds that are able to do so much more and that are so significant in life. Because when we begin to see is that there are so many qualities of having a stronger mind. First quality of having a stronger mind is grit. You're able to push through hard things, not supposedly hard things. Now, I was once changing tires with a teen one day, and I was there down with him. And I'm like, why is this guy not like doing the turning thing with me? Like, what happened? He's like, it's hard. Like, that's not hard. There's harder things in life. Come on, have some grit, you know? Strong minds have some grit. They have endurance. They can persevere. They know that their perseverance and the ability to endure is what separates the best from the rest. And that's what strong minds have and what they do in abundance. The next quality that strong minds have is a growth mindset, which is so profound and so important. It's the realization of, I may not be there. I know I may not be there yet, but I'm actively working towards that. I'm growing, I'm studying, I'm exercising, I'm praying about it. You know, I'm doing the work. And because whenever we do the work, it's again like a positive pull, a magnetic pull towards the areas in our lives that matter most. And the growth mindset is always that, always developing, always growing. The next thing that we begin to see, the next quality we begin to see is focus. No longer are we overthinking or overcomplicating our lives. Instead, there's a red-hot focus, a red-hot understanding that this is my goal, this is my life, this is what I'm called to do, this is where I'm supposed to be. And everything else can come second place because I know that there's a deep focus. And whenever there's a deep focus, there's no room for negative thinking because we're focused on the things that matter most. And in another area of a deep, of a quality mindset and the qualities that we begin to see is peace. Peace. Because people with strong minds are always and often at peace. Why? Because they know that they've been given peace beyond understanding as a gift. No, they know that Philippians 4 is true and it says that pray and do not worry, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding is your peace. So whenever we are worried, we pray. Whenever we're uncertain, we pray. Whenever we're in doubt, we pray. Because we know that peace will always come in whenever we are people who pray. And then lastly, the last quality we begin to see whenever we have a strong mind is none other than courage. We're courageous in all we do. We begin to recognize that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But we begin to see that any obstacles that come our way, we can embark them courageously because we're not alone. We know that we can able to do the impossible because we're not alone. And everything, despite overwhelming odds, we know that I can do that hard thing and I can do it confidently and courageously. And that's what happens every single time we have a strong mind. Again, we develop grit, growth. We have focus, peace, and courage whenever we have a strong mind. And don't we all need those qualities? So let's take a moment right now and let's consider the areas in our lives that maybe there may be a big challenge for us right now. Now, for some of us, we are considering transitions in our careers or in our workspaces. Others of us have been hit with intense challenges in our businesses. Others having been hit with enormous health challenges. Some of us here are navigating a new season with our kids and are finding it tough. Others of us are carrying the weight and the tension of a relationship that's gone south and you just don't quite know how to reconcile it again. Others of us have gone through a months-long stretch of exams and studying. And now as you enter into the new term or the new semester, there's a level of doubt that is beginning to creep in. We all have challenges. We all have doubts. What's yours? Can I encourage us that as we work through those challenges, that maybe the biggest and the best thing that God can bless us with right now is the wisdom, resources, and skills needed to develop a stronger mind. Because when we begin to have a stronger mind, that stronger mind can be the gateway, the pathway to that significant victory. When we have the stronger mind, we have the courage it takes to make that hard call at work. When we have a stronger mind, we have the wisdom needed to know what the right move is for that health situation or for that crisis at home. When we have a stronger mind, that's when we have the courage that we need to ask for forgiveness or to forgive. All that takes place when we have a stronger mind. While we are asking and praying to God for an answered prayer, God is blessing us with the resources needed to develop a stronger mind. And then that stronger mind can be the answer to prayer. Because we'll have what is needed to push through, to endure, to grow, and to have what it takes to get through to the other side. God wants to bless us all with the resources needed to have a stronger mind. And when we do so, we begin to see that we can do significant and great things because of that stronger mind. So with that, how do we then develop a stronger mind? How is it then that we're able to have what it takes within us to have those skills, those resources, whatever God has in store for us to strengthen our minds and to renew and transform them? That's where we turn to Scripture. And specifically, we turn to a practice that we are able to do in Scripture that can always ensure us that we can have a stronger mind because of it. And what we'll be doing and what we'll even be looking at for the remainder of our time together now is the simple practice of memorizing Scripture to strengthen our minds. Because whenever we're able to get Scripture in us, it's able to strengthen our minds. So we're not just going to read Scripture. We're not just going to have Scripture in front of us. We're not just going to have it as a bumper stick in our car that we see only whenever when we open our boots. No, we're going to have Scripture living and residing within us. Because when Scripture is able to make inroads in our lives, that is when we're able to see that our minds are getting stronger. Because when Scripture is our strongest thought, then no doubt that whatever God has in store for us will become the strongest thought and will become the area in which our life moves towards as well. You know, Hebrews 4 verse 12 tells us this significant thing. It says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." And that is just so profound. Scripture is so alive, so powerful, so active in our lives that it looks at all the thoughts that are in our lives. It looks at the toxic thoughts, the unhealthy thoughts, the negative thoughts. It looks at that and dissects them and exposes them for what they really are, lies. Scripture is able, and when you read it and when we get it in us, to look at those things that we think about ourselves that are wrong and be able to be like, lie. Lie. It is so alive, so powerful that it's able to do that real time in our lives and in our hearts. And then not only that, it is able to outmuscle those thoughts. It is powerful. It is able to outmuscle those thoughts so that God's word can take preference and can have and have power over those areas in our lives. So no longer are we thinking to ourselves, "Oh, I'm not wise enough. Oh, I'm not good enough. Oh, I'm not strong enough." No, Scripture exposes those lies and says, That's a lie. Believe this instead. Hold on to this instead. Trust in this instead. And then all of a sudden, as we get Scripture in us, that begins to be the narrative of our lives. And that begins to be the strong direction of our lives as well. All because we've got Scripture within us. Not only is this biblical, but it's also scientific. Now, we're told this. Thanks, Odette. We're told this, that whenever we have thoughts in our minds, you know, I'm going to use this rope as an analogy. Whenever we have thoughts in our minds, our thoughts, the more we think them, the stronger they become. They form what scientists call neural pathways in our lives. So meaning that, like if we take this rope and take this knot, the more we think a thought, the tighter it becomes. You know, I'm not good enough, or I'm not strong enough. Things will always be this way. My best days are behind me. My skin color, my gender just said to me back. You know, and every time we think that thought repeatedly, and no matter how many different ways or different words we'll use for it, every time we think it, it becomes tighter and tighter and tighter. And the story goes on with every thought that we have. But the good news, and the news about Scripture as well, is that our brains aren't fixed. God has given us brains that are able to be renewed and to be transformed. What scientists call, our brains have neural plasticity. So meaning that every time we think a thought and every time we have a thought, if we are able to think a different thought, it is able to replace it. So just as a thought is tied and looks fixed, it can also be untied. So every time we think to ourselves, like, oh, I'm not strong enough to do this, if we believe another thought, like the thought of Scripture, that says, for Christ is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, all of a sudden, you can have a new thought and a new way of living and a new way of believing. So every time we think to ourselves, ah, I'm alone, there's no one else who cares for me in life, and we can begin to believe what Scripture says, that when God says, I will not leave you nor forsake you, and all of a sudden, what feels tied and feels fixed, what we begin to see, has got a new path and created a new path within it. And so goes on with every thought that we think and every thought that we think that is fixed. If it can be renewed and it can be transformed using Scripture, because Scripture is where we see God's truth. So God's truth has the ability to debunk any lie that we may have believed. And for some of us, maybe it's lies that have been so entrenched within us. May have been lies that have been from childhood. You may be thinking to yourself, like, oh, this message is so cute, but you don't understand what my childhood is like and how I've had to live my life. What I'm here to encourage each and every one of us with is that Scripture says we can renew our minds. Our minds can be transformed, and they can be because God has given us the ability to do so. Tim Keller has this amazing quote. He says it so beautifully and so powerfully. He says, the Bible is not just a book of principles. It is the living voice of God reshaping how we think about ourselves, the world, and our purpose. God has given us His voice. That is how powerful Scripture is. It is God's voice within us. Aren't you just so glad that God hasn't left us alone and hasn't left us to fend for ourselves, but instead has given us His voice as the ability to be able to untie every single thought and emotion in our lives that has us fixed? Now, I've seen this for my own life as well. I remember in my early 20s having the strongest thought that was dominating my life, being I'm the captain of my own ship. And boy, did my life not move towards that direction. Oh, that's like a just every loving family member, wise family member that I had, I'm like, nah, I'm the captain of my own ship. Thank you for the advice. I'm good to go. Loving church family members and church leaders, like Pastor Steve will tell you about the number of times I've been in his office. And he's been like, really? And it's inside my brain, like, nah, I'm the captain of my own ship, you know? And the thing is that the more and more reckless my life became, the more and more I began to believe another lie. And that lie was, you're a failure. So there were two lies that just kept being more and more entrenched as my 20s went on. No, you're a failure and I'm the captain of my own ship. And the more I just kept believing those lies, cool. So the more I began to believe those lies, the more the entrenched they became in my life. But we serve a God who's generous and kind and who's able to turn all stories around. And He's able to renew and transform our minds. And He does that with His truth. So instead of believing that I'm the captain of my own ship, He blessed me with the truth of this found in John 10, when Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, and the sheep who love me know my voice. And all of a sudden, I began to realize that actually life is better with Jesus in charge, not me. Fancy that. And I began to believe that truth. And I stopped believing that I'm a failure. Instead, I began to believe what Scripture says. And that Romans 8 verse 37 says that overwhelming victory is ours because of Christ Jesus. And all of a sudden, that began to be the new truth to believe. And more as life went on and as life keeps going on, I will choose to believe truth over the lie because of how powerful the truth has helped me up till now. And the reason why I share this is because God wants that for every single one of us. Despite how deeply entrenched the lie is, or maybe how new the lie is, God's word is able to untie and is able to do significant things in our lives. So can I encourage us, let's renew our minds today. Let's strengthen our minds today. Let's transform our minds today using God's truth. So we're going to look at a, use a quick practice today on how it is that we can do this, how it is that we can get scripture within us. But first, what's going to come up is a few weak thoughts that may be plaguing you in your mind, in your heart. And I wanted to encourage us, while I take a sip of water, to take a picture of them right now. It's over two screens, so you can take a picture of both of them and you can diagnose which one is most prominent for you. And then also at the same time, right next to it is a strong truth from scripture that counters that lie. Cool, next one's going to come up now. I'm not going to be mean. We're going to scroll back again just now. I almost said some of us may be technically challenged, but I won't say it. I didn't say it. Cool. You'll ask a friend to WhatsApp you if you missed it. So what we're going to do now is using the truth that we have now, is that what we're going to do is a practice which I'll give right now, which are four R's. Now, last week, Pastor Brian gave us A, B, C, D, E, F, and today we're going to go with four R's. You know, so if you're ADHD, we've got you covered every single time, every week here, we help you. So the first R that we're going to look at is to recognize the lie. Recognize the lie. What's the lie that's most prominent for you? What's the lie that plays most on repeat in your life? Again, you can just have a look at those images and begin to see like which one it is. For argument's sake and for the sake of this entire practice, let's just go with the fact with the lie that I've got no purpose. You know, I've got no purpose in my life. So what begins to take place is that whenever we are living off that lie, remember our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts, is that we can begin to think to ourselves that, this is what my life is all about, and begins to be the filter in which we see our lives. So whenever things are hard, whenever things are tough, we begin to think to ourselves, well, that is how it was always supposed to be anyway. You know, that's how life was always going to be because I have no purpose. But remember, we're not going to live that way. We're not going to think that. But instead, we want to our minds to be renewed and transformed. And that leads to the second R, which is what is the second R? Replace the lie. We're going to replace the lie. So we're not going to live off the lie. We're not going to continue believing the lie. Instead, we are going to replace the lie. And we're going to replace the lie with the truth. And the truth that counters that lie is Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. So no longer will we allow our words to be the guiding authority in our lives. I have no purpose. Instead, now we're going to have God's word being the guiding authority in our lives. And if God says I have a purpose, and if God says I've got a hope, then that must be the truth. And that's what I'm going to hold on to. And that's what I'm going to anchor myself too. And that's what it means whenever we decide to replace the lie. What we're ultimately replacing is God's words for our words. And we're allowing God's words to be the ultimate truth and not what we say. And then next, what we're going to do is that we are going to remember the truth. Because who here knows that the lies don't come when we are having our Bibles open in the morning, sipping our Seattle coffee, looking out into the beauty of the sky, and then the lie comes like, I have no purpose. Oh, wait, the scripture's here. No, I know the plans I have for you. No, we know that lies don't come about like that. Lies come at us when we are alone at night, just before going to bed, or in that meeting, or when in a conversation when somebody says something that kind of reinforces it. You know, whenever we are most alone or most exposed, that's when the lie comes in. And what we can begin to know is that if we don't have that verse living within us, if we don't have that truth living within us, we are ultimately and naturally going to believe what is in us, that lie, even more. So because we don't have the truth in us, we're going to be like, I don't have a purpose, hey. I guess this is what life is all about, hey. Or because we just don't have the truth living within us. But instead, if we are having the truth within us, in other words, if we are remembering it and memorizing it, what we can begin to see is that every time that lie wants to creep up and says, no, I have no purpose instead it gets cut off short, and instead, no, I have a plan and I have a purpose, because God says so. God says, I have a plan and I have a purpose for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And you can begin to believe that and counter that every single time. And what you begin to see is that you are starving the negative thoughts every time you're remembering the scripture instead, because truth is now having the overriding say in our lives, and that becomes more entrenched in our lives than what the lie is. And then lastly, what we're going to do is we're going to reflect the truth in prayer. Because if a lie has been entrenched deep enough, if a lie has been so in our minds and in our hearts deep enough, what we can begin to realize and see is that it can be hard to believe it straight away. It can be hard to believe it just by reading it once. It can be hard to believe it even by maybe next week sometime. But if we continue to give it to God in prayer, we are allowing His strength to be the one that is the one that's doing the hard work in our lives. So what we begin to do is that instead of just reading the scripture and memorizing the scripture, we're going to pray it as well and say, Father, thank you. Thank you that you've given me a hope and a purpose. Thank you so much that you have plans to prosper me and not to harm me. Thank you, Lord. Help me to believe it today. I don't believe it as often as what I should, and probably I don't believe it right now because of the situation that I'm currently dealing with. But I thank you that because of your strength and your help, I'm able to believe it. Amen. And whenever we turn our scriptures into prayers, whenever we turn truth into prayers, again, we are allowing Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit to be the one who is actively at work in our lives and not just our own thinking. And whenever we do that, sure, our minds are being renewed. Our minds are being transformed. We're not conforming to the pattern of this world, but instead, what we're choosing to do is to recognize, replace, remember, and to reflect. And everything changes when we begin to do that. So hey, can I encourage us to do that right now? Let's be people who are deciding to have stronger minds right now. So won't you please join me in standing, and let's begin to pray into it right now. You know, as I was just praying into the service today, and as I was just praying about this moment in particular, the Holy Spirit just dropped in my heart that as we are entering into the second half of the year, next week is going to be the second half of the year, there are some of us here already who have given up on what this year can be all about. There's some of us here already today have thought, this is it, the year is blown, I'm over 2025. But can I encourage us right now that that doesn't have to be the case? We can believe for a greater second half of the year. We can believe that God can do something significant and extraordinary and powerful, all because we are choosing not to believe the lie that is inside our hearts, but instead the truth that Scripture has for us. So let's begin to pray and trust that right now. Father, thank you so much that we are able to trust in you. Thank you so much, Lord, that we are able to rely on you, to bank on you, to bank on your word. We can take you at your word, and we thank you for that, Lord. So right now, we bring before you every lie that we've recognized in our lives, and we hold it captive, and we allow your word, Christ, to be the overriding principle in our lives. We set our minds and we set our eyes on things that are above. We set our minds on the truth of Scripture. We set our minds to believe that we do have a hope. We do have a purpose. We are not alone. We are not forsaken. We are deeply loved. We are lavishly cared for and loved by our Father. We set our minds on the fact that our Christ has given us the strength to do all things because of Him. So Lord, we come before you right now with all of our weaknesses, all of the areas in our lives that have been affected by negative minds. And we say from July all the way through to December, which is strength. We choose strength in your word. We choose to rely on the weight of your word. We choose to rely on the power of your Holy Spirit governing us, guiding us, showing us how it is that we can do life with you and for you. And we trust you for that, Lord Jesus, in your mighty, extraordinary, and powerful name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's give God a shout of praise because He's giving us stronger minds today. And while we're standing, in this prayerful environment, there's some of us here today, this may be the first time you've been made aware of how extraordinarily powerful Jesus can be in your life to transform your life, to renew your life. It is because of Jesus' sacrifice that this becomes a reality in our lives. So can I encourage us all right now with our eyes closed and heads bowed to begin to trust and to begin to allow Jesus to actively work in our minds today and to be the one who is our Lord, Savior, and friend. Because when Jesus has the rule in our lives and in our hearts, everything else begins to change. Because when the King is in charge, the kingdom takes place. When the King, Jesus, is in charge of our lives, the rest of our lives begins to take change as well. So what I'm going to do is that I'm going to count to three and then ask you to raise your hand. And again, all of our eyes are closed, our heads are bowed, so it's a private moment. And all that is just going to do is for me to see you and know who it is that I'm praying alongside and praying for. So if that's you right now today and you want to invite Jesus to come into your life, to be your Lord, your Savior, your friend, your King, who's able to transform and renew not just your thinking, but every area of your life too, for His good and for His glory, and so that it is better than what it ever has been before. If that's you, after I've counted down from three, you can simply raise your hand. So 3, 2, 1, please raise your hand if you want to invite Jesus to be your Lord. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hands. Thank you in the back. I see your hands. In the side bank as well. Thank you. I see your hand. I see your hand in the side bank as well, in my left hand. Thank you at the back, underneath the balcony too. Amazing, amazing, amazing. So right now I'm going to pray a prayer, and again, you can allow this to be the language of your heart as I pray it. Personalize it for yourself. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for showing me who you are today. Help me, Lord, to live for you. Help me, Lord, to see you as the ultimate power and the ultimate truth in my life. Help me, Lord Jesus, to live a life that honors and glorifies you. Please forgive me for all the times I've sinned and gone my way. And help me, Lord, from here on in, to live with you and with the power of your Holy Spirit. And everyone who prayed that prayer passionately and gratefully said, amen, amen.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website. And for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.